Welcome back, everyone. For our second segment, we'll be covering the story of the struggle to free the New Jersey Four. Four young black lesbian women, Venice Brown, 19, Terrain Dandridge, 20, Patrice Johnson, 20, and Renata Hill, who's 24, who on June 14th received prison sentences ranging from 3.5 to 11 years for a fight that broke out after these women, along with three other defended themselves against sexist and homophobic attacks. To discuss this case, we're joined right now by Brand Fenner, co-director of Fierce, a trans and queer youth of color organizing project based in New York City. Welcome, Brand, to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, for folks here in Los Angeles, why don't you help explain what happened and that led to this case, what happened the night of the arrest, what was the sentence, and why these sentences were given to these four women in June?
Okay. In mid-August of last year, seven young women from Newark, New Jersey, were going to the West Village area to hang out. And the reason they're coming from Newark to go to the West Village is because there isn't much of a social setting for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans youth in Newark. And the West Village for decades has been a place where youth have been able to go and hang out and be in public space. So even within Fierce's work, part of our work has been to maintain that public space as we see more space be privatized. Mm. So that night in mid-August, they were in the West Village, and they were approached by a man named Dwayne Buckle, who was selling DVDs outside of a movie theater. The way he approached them was by making some really violently sexist remarks to one of the young women in particular. He flicked his cigarette, a lit cigarette, at them when they were like, "No, we're lesbians," and tried to walk away. You can see in some of the footage them backing away from him. He also spit in their faces and started to escalate verbally, and he also pulled out hair from the scalp, which you can also see some pictures of, well, at least when we were in the courtroom, from Venice Brown. And at that point, a fight started, and they're in front of the IFC, and the two young men who were around in the crowd came in to help defend the young women. At certain points of the fight, Dwayne Buckle was on top of at least one of the young women, choking them, and Patrice Johnson had a kitchen knife in her bag. When she saw that her friend was being choked, when Dwayne Buckle was on top of her friend, is when she tried to get him off of her. And these two men came in and helped defend them, and they left the scene to go to McDonald's, where they were planning to go to in the first place, feeling like it was safe. They had gotten this guy on the floor. These other two guys came in to help them, and they were just going to go home after that. When they were arrested, they were told by officers that they would be released at night. This was just standard. So they weren't thinking that it was going to become that four of them would be incarcerated for 3.5 to 11 years. So that's what happened. Fierce was contacted by some friends of Terrain Dandridge, knowing that Fierce has been a group in the community for a few years. We've been just trying to mobilize court support and get the young women resources, trying to help the mothers understand the legal proceedings. And so it's at a different phase now, but that's how we came into supporting this case.
Well, why don't you help for the listeners to, I've been reading some articles, and just obviously we know about the blatant injustice of the criminal justice system here in this country, where you know, over 1 million prisoners are black in this country, and I'm not surprised that the grunt of a lot of regressive and draconian laws fall on that community. But what was amazing to hear in some ways, or you know, the crazy thing to see, is how the judge himself acted in the courtroom itself.
Yeah, the judge was pretty gross. I think a lot of the lawyers were even surprised by the outcome of this case. The judge was really callous, and the media in general, I think he was playing into how the media was portraying the case as well, but it was really hard to be in that courtroom, obviously for the young women, but it was just really disgusting, to be honest. And this judge, part of our work right now is just research this judge as we go into an appeal of this case, and some of his past decisions have been overturned, so we're hoping that will help as we move forward.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how can folks in the public understand this. I mean, right now, I'm pretty sure you were here at the end of the last conversation. We were talking about the introduction of armed police officers into the Albuquerque public school system, and here in Los Angeles, we see also we're one of the biggest centers of arrest of Black and Latino folks here in Los Angeles. Have you guys been able to look at Gen 6 and the form of racism youth of color face every day with, you know, urban life constantly being criminalized? How have you been able to reconnect in some ways to a much more broader audience in some ways?
Well, if it helps, it can start with how the media looked at this case and then how we're talking about the case and also how it relates to Gen 6. Mm-hmm. So, for example, within the media around the Jersey 4, they use titles like Attack of the Killer Lesbians or Lesbian Wolfpack. And the media, for the most part, left out details of how the interaction even began, probably to get more readers and also increasing fear of Black people in general, right? Mm-hmm. So it's also too familiar to us to have Black people compared to animals in the media. And, the term gang is used often to describe these women who have no gang affiliations, mm-hmm. trying to hang out in a place they felt safe to express their sexuality. So the media has been serving to demonize these women, leaving out facts in the case that help the public understand what really happened, and consistently use inflammatory words like gang to describe a group of lesbians fighting off an attacker. So we see this case as self-defense, mm-hmm. and is also a result of state neglect of youth of color who are often low income. And when it comes to the Gen 6, Black males in this society are often paid the most attention when something violent happens. And so the media in the U.S. frames these kinds of stories so that the public at large thinks of racism as an individual sort of thing or on personal terms, though the reality is that there are systematic forms of domination by large institutions like the court system, mm-hmm. which we're seeing here, which a large majority of this country is victim to on a daily basis. But, and also just looking at statistics that knowing that since the 1950s, the Black prisoner population has increased by 900%, mm-hmm. or nationwide young Black people are more than twice as likely to be transferred to adult court than their white counterparts. There are so many connections to mm-hmm. the Jersey 4 case and to the Gen 6. And looking at how Black women are being incarcerated today, Black women born today, I believe, are five times more likely to be sent to prison than in the mid-1970s. And so even in looking at why FIERCE as an organization began, we began out of a need in the community. And we began when there was a lot of media attention around Abba Louima and Amadou Diallo. And we noticed as young activists and young organizers that there was a huge section of the population that was not necessarily purposely, but being neglected, and that was the queer and trans part of the people of color community at large. And so our work has been rooted in finding root causes to different social issues, and we see the impact of gentrification in New York City as being increased criminalization of our folks. And so all the different sort of intersections of identities, what comes along with that is intersections of oppression. So we're just sort of, it's not very difficult for us to see the connection between Gen 6 and the Jersey 4.
We're talking to Bran Fenner, co-director of FIERCE, a trans and queer youth of color organizing project based in New York City. I think the other thing that seemed to be important in the context of this story, but it seems that obviously neither the judge nor the courts itself really looked at it. As I was reading, most of these folks were from Jersey, from Newark, and As I've been reading, there's been sort of violent attacks upon trans people and other folks in the queer community, and isn't that sort of the tail end of this discussion when we try to explain self defense, because it's such an important And imagine if, in some ways, if we flip the script in some ways, imagine this 30 years ago, how we're now regressing when you think of Stonewall, where it was sort of a fight back, a defense of the community. And now it seems now it's completely reversed in some ways.
Absolutely. I mean, when we look at the case of Sakia Gunn, who was a 15-year-old black lesbian who was murdered, the Audre Lorde Project in Fairs did a visual rally for her a few years ago, and she was from Newark, New Jersey, and she was in a very similar situation as these young women that night. She was with her friends at the bus stop in Newark. She was approached by a much older man in a car who was trying to hit on her. When she said, "No, I'm a lesbian," he stabbed her to death. And so what this case implies is that if she were successfully able to fight off her attacker, along with the friends that she was with that night, because she was not alone, they would all be in jail as well. So the Jersey 4, it was a really clear and quick connection we made to Sakia Gunn. And they also knew Sakia. Some of them knew Sakia Gunn. And, you know, it often takes a split second to figure out whether you're going to defend your life or how you're going to be able to try to defend your life. And so this case kind of implies that the state's going to neglect you. There aren't many things for people to do, for queer and trans youth to do in Newark. And then we have people coming to the West Village to socialize and to be able to express their sexuality or their gender to as much as they feel comfortable, to be criminalized by the police that are in the West Village, to be left vulnerable to interpersonal street violence such as these young women. And so the connection between what happened with Sakia Gunn, the connection between the four youth that were assassinated, or like murdered, assassination, like just I think at close range in Jersey, and some of them might have been based on homophobia, it's sort of just like, well, how are we supposed to survive, and how are we supposed to protect ourselves, and how are we supposed to just kind of live freely?
Well, why don't you give, we got about another minute and a half in this segment. Why don't you talk about, you know, what's been the reaction of folks? I know I heard it for the first time at the U.S. Social Forum. What's been the type of help you need, and more importantly, what could people here, our listeners, do to help this struggle?
I think, you know, one thing people can do is visit our website at this point. We're still adding to it, but it's fiercenyc.org, so FIERCENYC.org. And there we have, like, how to send them care packages and how to send them money, because as many of us may know, when you are within the prison, there are a lot of restrictions on what you can send, and so it's easier to give them money. We've been collecting money to help fundraise for a lot of the legal fees. One of the moms had to put up her house to cover some legal fees. They now have lawyers that are doing the appeal pro bono. However, they're still needing help in finding folks to help with the civil case, because Dwayne Buckle is suing each of them for $5 million. Wow. So I think that the outside system, like the outside prison administrators, I think, will respond quicker when they know there's a lot of people on the outside that know what's going on, that are watching the case as it goes along. There are some people in the community that are starting a letter-writing campaign to Spitzer. I believe they're almost done with a template. You can join the listserv, that is Justice for the Newark Four, which you can also find on our website. Sharing resources with the young women is really important. Anytime people can visit, and care packages are going to be really helpful too. And also just keeping in contact with the case, because most likely there's going to be some groups that will do some different forms of direct action, especially as the appeal starts to gain momentum and the media picks it up even more.
Well, thank you, Brand Fenner. Again, give the folks your website for people to get a hold of you.
It's fiercenyc.org.
Well, thank you very much. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We'll take